I'm going to invite you to grab a seat, and we'll get started this morning. Welcome to PCC, where our mission is to help people discover and experience the life-changing love of Christ. It's great to be together, and I'm excited about today because we get to take the next step in our PCC ID series, week two of this. We began this series last week. We'll conclude it next week with our congregational meeting that I mentioned that will take place both during and after the service next week. If you're a regular here at PCC, you will notice that what we're doing during the message time is slightly different than normal. But one of the primary reasons we're doing this is because as we seek to help people discover and experience the life-changing love of Christ, we believe it is important for all of us to be on the same page moving forward. For everyone who is in this body of believers to accomplish what we desire to accomplish, we invite everyone, whether you are a lifetime believer or you're not sure what or if you believe, everyone is invited to jump on board and to use their talents and their abilities to glorify God as we seek to accomplish the mission here in this place. And the reason we're doing this together is because we believe that in order for PCC to make a difference and have the greatest impact possible on helping people discover and experience the life-changing love of Christ, that we're called to cast a compelling vision while providing opportunities for people to engage in the process. So as such, we desire for people to use and utilize their time and their talents and their resources to not only fulfill the mission, but to seek out and to engage new opportunities in which more lives have the potential to be impacted for the kingdom. From today on, from this point forward, it's our desire that you will be inspired to commit to being a part of what's going on here at PCC, that you will be encouraged to find your role in serving as God leads, and that you will desire to tell other people about what's going on in your life and in the life of this body of believers. The reality is the things that I shared last week, the things I'm going to share this week, even the things next week are not going to be new per se. They should be somewhat obvious and direct. And yet, if we fail to clearly articulate them and share them together and know what's going on as a body of believers, then we will not have the full impact of what we could have to accomplish the mission God is calling us to accomplish. As a church, our mission is help people discover and experience the life-changing love of Christ. If you're here last week, I said it like 800 times. I'm going to say it about 400 times today because it's important for us to know this and to have it. Last week, we went through a brief history of PCC, how it began and the reason it was planted in this region. We talked about what we believe about God and Jesus, the Holy Spirit, scriptures, relationships, and serving. And I introduced this refocused vision, the things that we value and the things on which we are focusing to accomplish our mission. And that vision, which is this, taking the life of Jesus as our pattern for life, we receive the gospel message of Jesus as a model for this community. So as such, we worship and glorify God as we prioritize being together, as we hear and respond to the Word of God, and as we are a tangible presence of grace in our communities and in our world. And in those three values, we seek community, we seek growth, we seek engagement with God and with each other. And that's what we want to explore together as we seek to fulfill our purpose. So as we dive into this in greater detail this morning, to help kind of set our hearts and minds all in the right framework, I just invite you, if you would, to let's take a moment, and I'm going to pray for us, and then we'll continue and dive into this together. Let's pray together. Father, in the stillness of this moment, we thank you for your presence. Father, I thank you for a time of song and worship that stirs our hearts and moves our emotions to places that we need to be moved and need to be changed and molded. And God, I pray through that experience that you would help make us one, Father, that we would welcome your presence and we would desire to have you move in our life, that we would experience your power, that we would invite the Holy Spirit into our lives, and that we would truly discover and experience the love that you have for us. Father, may we experience you in real ways today. God, would you use this time to speak to us
and through us, and help us to be living examples and the embodiment of your grace and your love to not only each other, but to the world. And as we leave from this place today, we will be able to leave with confidence, knowing that you love us and that we love each other and that you are able to do amazing things because of who you are. We love you, Father. We thank you. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. So let's dive into this morning. Taking the life of Jesus as our pattern for life, we receive the gospel message of Jesus as our model for this community. As such, we worship and glorify God as we prioritize being together. Jesus' prayer recorded for us in John chapter 17, verses 20 through 23. Part of his prayer, it reads like this. He says, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you have sent me and have loved them, even as you have loved me." Notice throughout that short passage, Jesus' emphasis on the oneness of those who believe, how we are called to be together. We are called to have unity so that the world will see the love that God has for us, that we have for God, that we have for each other, and that will make an impact. Part of what we see in the scriptures, including in 1 John 4:12 and Galatians 3:26 through 28, which are on the screen, I'm not going to read them to you, but they emphasize the fact that we need each other. It's important that we are with and invest in each other. And there's several compelling reasons why this is true. One reason, I would suggest, is because our faith is not stagnant. We are always moving in our faith. It's growing. It's changing. It does not remain the same. And we need other people to encourage us on toward faith and good deeds. One of the things we talk about as a leadership team is the overall spiritual health and growth of this body of believers. How we desire for there to be growth in our faith and in our trust in God. And we want to encourage and even challenge that to take place. We also see that together is how faith works. Yes, if you look at the life of Jesus, taking his pattern for our life and for what we do here, there are times that Jesus went off by himself to be alone, but he lived his life in faith with other people. He grew up in a family of faith. Scripture tells us that it's not good for us to be alone. We need each other. It's also countercultural. Recognizing and acting upon the fact that we need each other is one of the ways that we fight against our culture. Our Western culture is very individualized. It has affected us by causing us to pursue often a highly individualized faith. But that's not how the scriptures draw it out. Now, yes, we believe as individuals, we have the opportunity to have a relationship with Christ, but we see faith in action when we are with other people. One of the reasons we know that this is instinctively true is because once you experience genuine community and relationship, you desire it, right? And you feel a loss when it is gone. In the time that I've been here at PCC, one of the key characteristics for which this church is known is how friendly, open, and welcoming this body of believers truly is. I often have the opportunity to connect with people who have visited PCC, and the common refrain is, it's great. It seems to be welcoming, and there's a heart of openness and love at PCC. The people from all different walks of life and different religious backgrounds find common ground here because of Jesus. Because that's what we're talking about, and that's what's important, is Jesus. As a church, there are a variety of ways in which we encourage people to prioritize investing time together. And while obviously some of these things I'm going to mention may fit, you know, several different categories, we're trying to focus in on the primary instance for each of these. So bear with me as we kind of walk through this morning. One primary area in which we focus on prioritizing being together is Sunday morning, right? That's somewhat obvious, right? It is obvious, but I want to say this. There's a marked difference between showing up on a Sunday morning and prioritizing being together on a Sunday. And here's the deal, and I touched on this last week. I may share some things this morning that step on your toes, Remember last week I talked about pushing you? No, I just want to nudge you out of your comfort zone, right? That may happen a little bit this morning, but I want you to hear my heart on this as I share this morning. I'm not trying to make you feel guilty in any way, shape, or form. Guilt is a terrible, terrible motivator. It really is. All guilt does is institutes resentment and bitterness. So this is not about a guilt trip for you, all right? No guilt. Guilt-free zone. However, if I do share something that is convicting to you, that's different. Conviction by the Holy Spirit leads to transformation, and that causes you to grow, and that is what we're searching for. That is what we desire to have happen. So I hope that you not only know the difference, but you will feel and experience the difference as I share this morning. And one more thing. If you do take issue with something I say, will you please just talk to me about it? Please? I mean, let's just have a conversation. I really want you to hear my heart on this because I'm not trying to be judgmental. I'm not pointing the fingers. I'm not looking at anyone in particular as I say some of the things I'm going to say, right? I'll just stare at the back wall at the exit sign and everyone will be hoping that they can leave, right? No, so I just want you to hear me on this and we can work through this together. Deal? Okay, good. Part of what we believe it means to prioritize being together is this. To show up on time, or dare we say even early on a Sunday morning. All right? Now, there are reasons this is important. One key reason is because when we show up on time or even early, it speaks to our priority that we place on being together. And when we don't, that speaks as well, right? Another reason, visitors. There's rarely a Sunday that goes by that we don't have a first, second, or third time visitor here at PCC. And guess what? They show up early, right? There's a couple here again today. It's their fourth or fifth Sunday, and I'm not going to look at them because they know who they are. But the first Sunday they showed up at 10 till, which most people do when they're trying to be somewhere, and it was crickets. It was me and the two of them going, hey, how you doing, right? That's it. And it's, you know, they want to see someone other than me, right? And so that's one of the things. It's good to be here, and it's important to be here. Being here early is something we desire to facilitate. If you were here early over the last 2 weeks or this morning, you may have noticed a new format that's in place. And if you didn't notice, because you were late, right? I'm going to tell you about it real quick, right? The worship team has committed to being up here on stage playing music at 9:55, okay? That's the goal every Sunday morning, with the first corporate worship song beginning at 10 o'clock. It was 10:01 and about 8 seconds today. So we were a little late, right? But you get the heart of what we're trying to do. The hope is when you're in the lobby and you're checking in your kids, you're getting a cup of coffee, you're catching up with someone, when you hear the music, that's your cue. Oh, it's going to start. And so we're going to gather up, we're going to come in here together as a body of believers, and we're going to prepare to worship together corporately. It's really one way that we can build community as we prioritize spending time together. Another way we can prioritize being together is to stay after on Sunday morning. Now, this is something that several of you, you're really good at staying after. And it's really fun to watch, right? It's really, really fun. And I'm being dead serious to really have to say, okay, you have to at least leave the auditorium now because our Ebo service is getting ready to begin, right? And they begin at like 12:10. So it's a load of fun, and I want you to know that is really great. I just want to invite you and encourage you to include other people in those conversations. Now that being said, and again, I'm not going to look at anybody in particular, but there's some of you who really do make a beeline for the back door as soon as this thing's over or even before it's over. You're like, dude, I am out of here, right? Now, and we understand there are going to be times when you have something scheduled, either, you know, right before or right after. You're going to have to, you know, bug out quickly, or you're going to have to show up late. Well, we get it, right? But if you're showing up late and arriving or leaving early consistently, I simply invite you to consider what that says about the priority you place on showing love and developing unity within the context of this community of believers. A couple other thoughts about prioritizing being together on Sunday mornings. We really want to encourage you to show up on a regular and consistent basis. And you may say that that's very self-serving. Well, in a way, yes, but here's the thing. We realize that you're not going to be able to be at PCC every weekend, all right? That's life. There's something, though, about prioritizing being together to be consistently present. And I've had people tell me it really doesn't make a difference. It's not that big a deal to the community of believers, but it does. And one of the main reasons for this is because you being here on a Sunday morning, you prioritizing being together by showing up earlier or staying after, It may not be about you. And I want you to hear that. It may not be about you. You may say it's no big deal. It doesn't impact your life. And maybe that's true. I could argue that with you a little bit. But maybe it's not about you. Maybe it's about the people that you can impact and the people you can influence. And I want to invite you to consider who needs you. Who needs to be welcomed by you, to be encouraged by you. And when you're not here, other people miss out on what God can do in their lives through you. Don't sell yourself short. Your gifts and your talents and your abilities, your presence is important. You matter. We all matter. It's important that we prioritize being together. In addition to Sunday mornings, there's a couple of ways that you can prioritize being together. Small groups. Small groups, in the primary function of them is to connect people together. I've told people often, if you have to choose between a Sunday morning and a small group, go to small group, right? Because connection with life, doing life together, being connected is so very important. In these groups, you have the opportunity to get to know people on a deeper personal level, and that takes time, that takes investment, that takes vulnerability. As you share your joys and your triumphs, as well as your struggles and your difficulties, it's an opportunity to be authentic, to have God-honoring relationships that not only exist but thrive as you walk through life. And we have a variety of small groups here at PCC for adults and students that help you connect with each other. And you can find information about that on the website. And if you were here last week, you saw the video sharing about how small groups make an impact in the life of a believer. And so small groups are important. Another way we can prioritize being together is when we serve together. There's something about spending time together while you're serving that creates opportunities to grow your relationships. On Monday this past week, the staff here at PCC, Corey, Jackie, Kim, Michael, and myself, we spent the morning at Mercer Street Friends, where we served with a larger group of people and put together over 1,000 food packages for the Trenton Area Soup Kitchen Send Hunger Packing Program. That's what we did. And that's not to toot our own horn, right? It's just to hopefully show that we're not just talking about serving together, we believe in it. We're striving to practice it as well. Here at PCC, often serving together takes place within the context of small groups because it's just this natural outpouring of similar-minded people working together. For instance, after church today, the Hopewell small group will host our newcomers luncheon. It's an opportunity for them to serve together and meet a need within the church. They enjoy serving together and helping people and helping other people connect with each other. And so if you're new here to PCC in the last 12 months, or if you're new here today, which we have a couple of new people here, we want to invite you to that. Hopefully, if you've given us your information, you received an email invitation to this, and if you didn't, that's our fault. It's not an oversight. We're not trying to slight you, I promise. We want you to feel like you can come today. We would love to have you. Jackie is right there, standing at the back. She has cards and information for you. She'll be out in the foyer. Just find her, get the information. We'd love for you to join us for lunch today, right after the service. Another area in service for our small groups is the Sunday morning prep team. Small groups commit to preparing communion and coffee for the church community. They bring forward the communion elements, they receive the offering, and they just do a few things afterwards as well. It's a simple thing that not only serves the body each week, but it makes an impact on the service, and it gives them an opportunity to serve together. But investing in serving together and spending time together doesn't always take place within the context of small groups. There are various opportunities to use your gifts and talents to glorify God and to serve together. Stacy Murray leads our Connect team. They take the lead in welcoming people and answering questions as people come in on a Sunday morning to find information that they need to find. The worship ministry uses song and visuals and the sound to enhance our worship experience as a community. If you're interested in using your gifts and talents, talk to Michael. He'd love to visit with you about that. Through our student ministry, we have the opportunity to invest in the lives of students. And we have some highly talented and motivated people currently leading those ministries. Matthew and Megan are leading the middle school PYC 1, and Daniel Mason is leading the high school PYC ministry. And as we continue through this time of transition, we continue to look to bring on a staff member to fill those roles. And as we've been doing that, I have to tell you, I've been very impressed with not only the leaders, but with several of the students and their willingness to step up and to lead and their resolve to make PYC the best it can possibly be. We have a very good children's ministry, PCC Kids Ministry, led by Kim Milik. And this is not just a child care program, right? This is an opportunity to impact children with the message of Jesus. Through the discipleship junior classes at 9 and the programming at 10 on Sunday mornings, there are opportunities to invest not only in the children, but in the lives of each other as well. The outreach team is led by Nancy Pullen, which guides us the outreach ministry through our local, regional, and global efforts. And I'm going to talk more about that next week. Buildings and grounds area, we're looking for someone that can lead that team of volunteers to enhance the overall experience for anyone who steps foot on this location. And then there are countless more ways that I could talk about, but you want me to move on, I know, right? There are countless opportunities that don't exist here at PCC. What I want you to see is serving together is not limited to the opportunities that are presented here at PCC. We want to encourage you to find creative ways to invest your time in each other and invest your lives in each other to not only help you grow together, but it can impact the kingdom. Another way we can prioritize being together is in this idea of a rhythm of life. This is something that's difficult to do in our society and in our culture. And yet when people do it, the results are life-changing. The idea behind it is you simply include people in your normal rhythm of life, the things that you do on a daily basis. And when you do those things, you are intentional about inviting God's presence into your gatherings. And while there are these things we can do, and we're doing them on a regular basis, there are other opportunities as well. If you remember last week, I talked about the non-prescriptive element of what this looks like so that these things can become evident. The last thing that I ever want you to hear me say is unless you do it here in the way we tell you to do it, you're not doing it right. That is so not true. God can move and work in our lives in so many different ways. And as we prioritize being together, as we prioritize Him in our life, some beautiful things can result. And so we want to encourage you and challenge you to take the initiative to prioritize being together. The second value that I'm going to talk about this morning is this. Taking the life of Jesus as our pattern for life, we receive the gospel message of Jesus as a model for this community, and as such, we worship and glorify God as we hear and respond to the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 says this, "All scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, connecting, correcting, in training and righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 say, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." One of the areas that we've identified as essential to the vision of PCC is that we want to grow in our faith and our relationship with the Lord. And while there are a variety of different ways one can grow, we think that one way to do this is through not only hearing the Scriptures, but by responding to how they speak into our lives. There are multiple ways we seek to take advantage of our time together to explore the Scriptures together. Again, the obvious one, Sunday morning, right? If you think about the songs that we sing, many of the songs are either taken directly from Scripture or they're based on Scriptures, and they're intended to help us experience God in rich and unique ways. And in my opinion, they can do that in ways that the spoken word or just reading the word cannot. Often experiencing God's word or principle taken from the Scriptures through a song can elicit a response that might not be possible through other avenues. Also on Sunday morning, we engage in corporate Scripture reading and prayer, all to focus in on Christ and to connect the entire experience back to Him. The messages that we offer each week are striving to be biblically based and focused on giving us insight and practical application to our individual and our corporate lives. And as we hear the Word, and as we are encouraged by how they speak into our lives, we are called to apply those Scriptures to our life so that they can transform us from the inside out. One key part of this is what we're doing at 9 o'clock in our discipleship classes. Last summer, Ryan Cagno assembled a plan that had been in discussion for about a year or so. He put together a 3-year curriculum which seeks to not only give an overview of the Scriptures, but also to drill down in certain areas to explore how the Scripture is speaking into our lives. Utilizing a variety of different teachers and approaches, the Word of God, it comes to life and it impacts those who are participating. And we really want to encourage you to participate in these classes. A few byproducts of these classes include opportunities to grow together. You develop friendships and you realize how much you have in common with each other. It also opens up the opportunity for mentoring to take place because you see how the Word of God is impacting someone else and how they are applying it to their life as well. In addition to these discipleship classes, we also have the 9:02 a.m. PYC Discipleship Senior Classes led by Doug Schoenberger. It's open to 8th through 12th graders, and they are currently studying women in the New Testament before moving on to Science in the Bible series. And if you are a teenager, or if you have a teenager or know one, the incentive is Doug has snacks every week, right? So there's always food there for them. There's also PCC Kids classes. We're calling them Discipleship Junior. Kim and an amazing team of volunteers last summer put together a plan to lead the PCC Kids ministry through their own age-appropriate lessons to run simultaneously with the discipleship classes. An important distinction, and I said it before, but I'm going to say it again, this is not just childcare, right? This is an opportunity for children to hear and respond to the Word of God. It gives them an opportunity to grow in their faith and develop that relationship with the Lord. And I have to tell you, this 9 o'clock time slot that has been devoted and dedicated to providing opportunities to hear and respond to the Word of God is something that we as a body of believers, we're simply not taking advantage of. We're just not. All of the classes offered have been and continue to be really top quality, and very few people are taking advantage of them. So I just want to make you aware that they are happening and maybe nudge you just a little bit to consider what it would look like for you to be a part of that. We want you to bring your children, participate, engage, and see how that can affect your life and impact your life. Those classes, along with the PCC Kids classes offered at 10 a.m., during our service, that's what they're back there doing right now. Our PYC Sunday nights, the PYC 1 on Wednesday nights are all places where there are opportunities to hear and respond to the Word of God. Once again, hearing and responding to the Word of God is not something that we want or even expect or hope that will happen only here. All right? Hear me on that. We don't want you to just open the Word of God or hear the Word of God only when you're here. We want this to be something that happens in your life, that you are hearing and responding to the Word of God in your daily life as you go about your day so that your lives can be impacted and lives can be changed. We want to read the Scriptures with a fresh perspective as to what God is saying because the Scriptures are living and active and they are a vital part in helping us discover and experience the life-changing love as they permeate our life and transform us to be more and more like Christ. Another important and essential aspect of this vision, something that undergirds everything that I have talked about and will talk about, is this special emphasis on prayer. One of the ways that we grow in our faith is through prayer. We follow Jesus' example, and when we do that, we see that prayer was essential to his life. Luke records for us in chapter 5 that Jesus often withdrew to lonely places to pray. Later, Luke tells us that Jesus went out as usual to pray. John records for us that Jesus' prayers, one of them he prayed for his disciples, he prayed for us, all those who would come to believe, he prayed for himself. Jesus told parables so that we would pray and not lose heart in Luke 18. He taught the disciples how to pray in Matthew chapter 6 in what we now call the Lord's Prayer. It's little wonder that if you look at the life of Jesus and the pattern that he has for us, that the early church was marked by prayer. Acts chapter 2 says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. They prayed for strength to do what God was calling them to do. They prayed for each other. They prayed to the Lord for the Lord to move in amazing ways. Paul wrote often about prayer. He encouraged us to pray without ceasing, to pray constantly. And we see in his prayers that he wrote in his letters to the churches, especially to the church at Ephesus, the importance of prayer. prayer is something that envelops all we seek to do here at PCC, the staff, the leadership team, the prayer team, faithfully pray over the requests and the praises that are submitted each week, those that you put on the communication card and that you turn in. A few people are available at the cross each week during our time of response, and we have a dedicated prayer space where people can come and pray before, during, and after the service on Sunday mornings and throughout the week. Our prayer ministry is led by Joel Goldstein and Daniel Mason, and they're not only committed to praying for this body of believers on a daily basis, but they are here each Sunday morning at 9 o'clock in the prayer room, and they're simply praying. They're praying for you. They didn't know exactly who was coming today, but that they were praying for you. They were praying for me. They prayed for us. And they invite you to join them in just lifting up this body of believers so that we can make an impact for the kingdom. Praying for others is something that the leadership team has committed to doing. We've committed to praying for the church and for each other daily, and we have a designated time that we have set that we do that each and every day. In doing so, we believe that God will not only help us grow in our faith, but will help us grow together and will help us hear and respond to His will and His direction for our life. There's a lot that I've tried to throw at you this morning. There's so much that we could talk about and so many things that we will continue to talk about. But as we approach God and as we think about what He wants to do in our life, we want to give you an opportunity to maybe just consider what God is doing in your life and how He's leading you to respond to His will and His direction for your life. At the end of the message last week, I asked you to consider what it was that you would want to see happen in your life and in the life of this community of believers. What is it that you desire? What is your vision? And then I challenged you, when you look at your vision and your desire, what does your vision, what does that cost you? What does it cost you for God to move and to do those things in your life? What is God asking of you? And so for the next few moments this morning, I invite you to consider that once again. And we want to give you just a couple of moments to pray, to reflect, and ask the Lord to be Lord in every aspect of your life. We invite you to respond this morning. If you want to talk to someone about what God is doing in your life, if you want someone to pray with you or for you, there are going to be people over by the cross that will be more than happy to pray with you and to pray over you. And we just invite you to take advantage of that opportunity. Invite you to respond to the Lord. And after a couple of moments of us spending time together, praying silently, we're going to pray together, and then we're going to sing a song as we close and as we respond to the Lord together. So I invite you right now to spend some time with the Lord to reflect on what He is saying to you this morning. Father, we love You. And we thank You for Your love for us. We thank You for Your presence. Jesus, we thank You for Your willingness to come to this earth to set an example for us. We thank You for the way in which You taught us how to pray, taught us how to live, how to interact with each other. You taught us what it means to invest one in each other. You taught us what it means to know Your word and to see how it impacts our life. Jesus, You taught us what it means to go into the world and to show Your light. And so, Father, as we consider what it is You would have us to do, how You're calling us as individuals and as a body of believers to respond to You, I pray that we would allow Your Spirit to transform us and to mold us and to shape us into Your people. Now, Father, what is said and done will be for Your glory and for Your benefit and Your honor. And Father, that we would go from here knowing You better, and just knowing Your great love for us. Father, thank You for that love. Thank You for the way it impacts us. Thank You for the grace that we can experience. We love You, Father. It's in Your Son's name we pray. Amen.